Oh, yeah. Welcome back. Show some respect. You knew this was coming. So just sit back and let it play. You knew this was coming. It's your boy Malcolm, aka American Riddle. Thanks for tuning in. I don't know, I was just a little overwhelmed by the news of the passing of my man, Tony Soprano, and he was much more than that. So here we are. I'm just chilling tonight, holding down the fort. Listening, reminiscing, and I think I'm gonna do what I do. You know how I do it. Open up a drink and drink some for my man that ain't here anymore. I think I got a call coming in too. Let's see what's up. What up?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah. Let me just adjust the volume a little bit. I was playing some tunes.
Using my pro gaming headset to talk to you.
Nice. You sound loud and clear and annoying as ever. My man Brandon.
Well, I like my teammates to know how annoying I am.
My boy Brandon in the house. I was getting ready to open a beer. I got distracted by your call. I was playing some music from The Sopranos and opening
Isn't
up.
Is there only like one song from The Sopranos?
No, there's actually a whole lot. You know, they closed. They were really, you know, famous for the end credit songs. So, yeah, of course, the theme song is what they're famous for. That and I think the finale, the song by, was it Journey or something? Don't Stop Believing? Is that it? No, that wasn't it.
Yeah, that's actually exactly what it was. I'm not a Soprano watcher or, like, knower of anything, really.
I think I've barely seen half of it.
But, no, my grandparents and my parents are huge fans, and I've seen the last episode, and I've seen, like, a good deal of, like, the first couple seasons, I guess, because they have it all on DVD.
No.
I was more of an Oz fan.
You got to get with it, man. Now you got to get the DVDs.
Well, I mean, I'm a huge. Are we recording right? We're recording right now, right?
I'm always recording.
You're always recording.
That's right.
All right. You know how to record on Skype?
Mm.
All right, cool. So, I mean, I'm a Gandolfini fan, but really not because of the stuff that he did in Sopranos. Like, I love him for the movies that he made, for the most part.
And just so you guys know, listening. That's my man, my mellow, the cool, cool fellow, Brandon. Alter, not Balter.
I can't make up rhymes on the spot like that.
Yeah, well, I was I was trying to watch because I was spilling.
That's pretty good.
I was spilling beer all over me. But yeah, if you guys haven't heard, James Gandolfini passed away. At least that's what the reports are coming over the wire.
51 years young.
Yeah, it's crushing. I was driving. I said I was driving and I was getting my phone was blowing up. I swear I must have received over a dozen messages. And yeah, it's just people know me. They know that I'm a huge fan of The Sopranos and his work, his body of work, like you said.
Oh yeah, I texted my parents because I knew that they would want to know like immediately. Because they're such huge Sopranos fans.
It sucks, man. I think we talked about this last time you and I did a podcast. We talked about how we're affected and how we're touched when, you know, a star falls. And it's
usually for me, it's when stand-up comics go away. Because people like Bernie Mac, when they just die and you're like, damn.
Yeah.
I just saw him live not that long ago. Fuck.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same way with me. I'm the same way with stand-up and just regular actors. And for this to come about, like, I'm not the only one. I'm not in the minority in this, but yeah. Every Soprano fan across the globe always wished for a Sopranos movie.
And for, oh, God.
And even though we knew it wouldn't happen.
The ending was such a, like, I didn't know if, like, there was a hitman there and he killed all of them. And that's sort of what you were supposed to infer, or if they're just supposed to be like, their life's always going to be on edge because, you know, they're a mafia family. That's just how they're going to live, and you're supposed to feel on edge too, I guess.
That's what I got out of it. I got that it was more for, like, for the
viewer.
He might
have been a killer, he might not have, but everybody sort of had to wonder.
Yeah, it's for the viewer to figure out. You know, some things are better that way. We don't always need a, you know, a
It was ballsy. I mean, like, I remember the hatred that came down when that episode aired.
Kind of reminds me of the Jerry Seinfeld
I think people gave him a lot more slack. They're like, oh, might as well go out while you're on top.
Yeah,
and then he did like a clip show.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely.
I feel like we gave him more slack. People were much – I think they were a lot more upset about Sopranos, even though I thought it was good.
It was great. Yeah. How did you watch the end and you haven't seen all of them? How does that work?
I mean, I enjoyed like the way it was done, but like, you know, I know it's a serial drama. You need to sort of build one episode onto the next, but I don't know. Just didn't I didn't need to do it.
I think I first fell in love with James Gandolfini when he did True Romance. I believe that might have been the first time I ever saw him.
That would have probably been my first movie too for him.
Yeah,
yeah. Just because I was such a big Tarantino nerd back then, I saw everything that dude touched, and Gandolfini was in that. I think Buscema was in that. There were a lot of big names in that. Brad Pitt was in that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and you didn't even see Val Kilmer, who was in there.
Oh, yeah. You just saw, like, he was talking in the shadows as a dead Elvis.
Yeah. So, I mean, but...
God, what a good movie. Yeah.
Amazing film. One of my favorites. If it's clearly one of my favorites of...
I love those, like, wild romantic stories, especially when, like, you know, the starring dude's, like, a criminal or something. Stuff like Terrence Malick's Badlands or True Romance like that. Or, God, there's another one I was thinking of.
And I consider that a Tarantino like film.
True Romance? Yeah. I mean, it feels like it. It definitely does. He didn't direct it, but...
It's Scott, one of the Scott brothers, isn't it? Not Ridley, but...
The one who died recently, right?
God, why can't I remember his name? Bailey and I were just talking about this. Every time I podcast, freaking forget names like you wouldn't believe.
That's another super depressing death that seriously just happened last year.
Mm.
Like
Tony Scott.
Tony Scott, yeah, he jumped off a bridge.
Did a header right off the bridge. And that sucks because
Keep this on Gandolfini.
Yeah, well, I was going to bring it back now.
Oh, sorry.
Just hold tight, big boy. That's what I was going to say. When the world loses a Tony Scott, you sit back and you realize there's not going to be any more Tony Scott movies. And when you lose James Gandolfini, you realize that's it. I mean, you're done. But I guess if there's an upside, if there's a silver lining, it's that he left us with an amazing catalog, an amazing body of work.
Yeah.
And, you know, back to what we were saying about True Romance, I mean, just going up down the list, I mean, one after the other, he's outside of The Sopranos. I mean, I loved him. I adored him as the stunt. He played a stunt man, bodyguard in... And Get Shorty, and that was
been a long time since I've seen that.
Oh, it was just awesome performance.
That was such a strange comedy.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was Elmore Leonard, right? Wrote it. It was based off one of his books, I believe, or short stories.
He did like another one too. I thought like later on with that also had Travolta in it.
Yeah,
I can't what it was called though, but it was like a spiritual successor.
Yeah,
are they called spiritual sequels when they're like sort of the same characters, but they're not.
Hmm.
I don't remember.
What's that? The sequel to it or something?
Yeah, there was like sort of a. I don't know if it was a direct sequel or a spiritual sequel, but it was a very similar movie.
Yeah, there was. Well, there was Get Shorty, and then there was another one.
I don't think Gandolfini was in that though.
No, but it was pretty bad. I think it's Uma Thurman and John Travolta.
I think Travolta's character was the same, but nobody else was. That's what I think it was. He still played that like gangster who was like in the movies or whatever. Yeah. Or I guess it was music and Get Shorty.
Yeah. I'm out of it, though. Just thinking about that, though. I mean, I'm still getting text messages right now. People sending me, have you heard? And, you know, rest in peace and sorry about, you know. I mean, I didn't know him, personally.
Yeah.
But I guess
I immediately thought of my favorite Gandolfini movie, The Last Castle.
Mm.
You ever seen that with Ruffalo? And God, I can't remember who actually starred, like, was the starring role in that, but that was an amazing film about.
Yeah, but wasn't that a prison?
That was it was like 2001, I think the movie came out. So I was pretty young back then. Yeah. I was a little whippersnapper, but I really enjoyed it. Yeah, it was basically he was the warden, but he was also like a 3-star general.
Yeah.
In this military prison.
Robert Redford.
Robert Redford, that's who it was. Mm-hmm. He played basically this guy who got his men killed, so he got sent to this military prison. Gandolfini was a very hard-ass warden, and basically Redford gets everybody to rally behind him and sort of rebel in the prison, and Gandolfini sort of goes to war against him with all the military guards that he has. And it's a really powerful film. And, I mean, like, Gandolfini steals a lot of the scenes he's in because he plays it like a very cool guy who's trying to smile and be nice, but Redford gets, like, under his skin. I love that movie.
Yeah, I saw that movie. It was a phenomenal movie. It also stars Delroy Lindo, who is also in Get Shorty.
That might have been, like, the first Ruffalo film I'd ever seen. I wonder if he did anything before that, because that's a long time ago for him.
Ruffalo, yeah. Ruffalo's been around for a long time.
Oh, longer than 2001?
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure that was when that...
Probably not a lot of well-known, but yeah, you're probably right.
This is probably the most well-known then, because I actually saw this when I was a kid.
Looks like bit parts. Looking at his IMDb right now, but... Yeah, the Last Castle's probably the one that put him in.
That was a good movie to get him known, definitely.
Then he went on to do a few other things, Eternal Sunshine.
Got more into the indie stuff, yeah.
Collateral. Yeah, Collateral was good. But, yeah, Gandolfini definitely, I think this is the buzz of the internet right now. You know what's amazing about this time period is that you could drop dead if you're a celebrity, high profile figure, it hits the wire fast. I mean,
I saw it on Twitter, like, and then I went to Facebook. I was just checking updates, and I saw your picture, and I was like, yeah, just heard.
Yeah.
Like, and I think you'd only posted it like 10 minutes before.
And I thought about it. I thought about it for a second after I posted. I was like, maybe I shouldn't be so fast because these things happen, but. I mean, it was – there were hundreds and hundreds of tweets were coming in all across.
I mean, I think I saw, like, Huffington Post had already posted. And by that point, like, if blogs and newspapers are posting, I'm like, oh, you know, I think it's real.
I wish it wasn't. I wish it was, hoax or a rumor. And
did you ever see In the Loop?
No.
That was another – that was actually a much more recent film, like 2008 or something like that, 2010. I can't remember. But he played a general in that too, but it was like a American / British political comedy, and he played like a general that all the British ministers and all like the Congress people were trying to like get favor from for a bill that they wanted to pass to get like military spending or something. I can't remember the exact details, but he played like this very goofy, aloof general who was like sort of tough and cursed a lot. Everyone in the movie cursed. That was the whole like sort of point, was that politicians curse, I guess. I don't know.
I tell you one that he was he was chilling in. Just very good performance was Killing Them Softly with Brad Pitt.
I don't think I've seen that.
Oof. Yeah, you should check that out. It's a gangster film about a hitman that is hired to track down some guys that knocked over. They either knocked over a poker game or something like that. But the hitman, played by Brad Pitt, and then he calls in Gandolfini to come in and do some wet work. That's what we say in the streets. Do some.
That's not a street term.
That's a
mercenary term,
yeah,
man.
Well, terms are terms. You know what it all means, right? Don't you?
So watch your back.
That's all I'm
saying. I don't think. Thugs are talking about wet work.
You'd be surprised.
All right.
Mm-hmm. But Killing Them Softly.
SAS members there.
Killing Them Softly, an amazing film. More of a kind of an artsy take on the gangster genre. A lot of weird camera angles and definitely some Matrix-esque.
Who directed that?
Slow motion.
Was it a Wachowski Brothers then?
Yeah, they did a lot of slow motion in this film. Almost to the point where it was
maybe it was
somewhat
Zack Snyder then.
Yeah, almost. I don't even want to talk about Zack Snyder.
Oh, damn. Yeah, that's right. You saw. I haven't seen Superman yet. I'm seeing that tomorrow.
Yeah, good luck with that. You'll probably like it, though, knowing you.
Of course. Man, I liked Superman Returns, and that was a mess of a film.
Yeah. I mean, this super Andrew Dominik directed Killing Them Softly. I recommend it. I mean, it's not it's not a traditional style gangster film. It's slow. So, I mean, you know, be committed when you watch it. Don't be expecting, you know, big action car chases, you know, a lot of shoot 'em up. I mean, it's all dialogue. There's definitely some hits in there, and some Ray Liotta gets his ass handed to him.
Oh, Andrew Dominik. He was the dude who did the assassination of Jesse James.
Yeah, yep.
God, that was a great movie.
Another film that was slow-paced and got panned by critics just because of that. And it goes back to what I've been saying time and time again, is that we've been herded like sheep or cattle to get everything to believe that everything should be the way you know, the up close and personal, meaning the explosions, the car chases, the gunshots and stuff like that. And we don't want to turn the pages. We don't want to slow burn. And that's where it's at. I mean, it's you've got to invest in these films because they're quality productions.
Sometimes you do. I agree. Like I think, do you remember Judd Apatow's film sort of got panned because
this is 40.
It was too long.
This is 40.
Yeah, this is 40. People are like, it's a little too long. I'm like, first off, I want a like a 6 hour long Judd Apatow film.
Yeah,
I want something as long as like Fanny and Alexander. Like,
people want all the jokes up front.
Yeah, like he did Freaks and Geeks, he did Undeclared. Those like entire series, if you put them all together, they'll like, you know, end up being 14 so hours for each show. I mean, like, why do people have such an issue with long movies when, like, you know, they're fine with all these serial dramas?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to.
Is it just the sitting in one place for so long? Because maybe we should start doing intermissions.
I don't think it's the sitting in one place as it is the sitting in one place and actually having to study and listen, not, you know, watch. Just going back to my point with
sometimes it can be a little bit of work. Yeah, you're right.
It is. It takes commitment. That's the word I stand by. I mean, you have to be committed to the film and understand that style of film. When you're going out there, just like with Star Trek and the Superman films, where they use every frame has to be something blowing up or someone being chased, I think it dilutes the quality of the product. And that's what I'm saying.
It's more like a just genre in general sort of dilutes.
If you're going to call it,
you pigeonhole everything on.
Yeah, but if you're going to call it Superman, it goes up to a whole new standard. Okay, if you call it Star Trek, it's a different standard. If you call it just an action movie, then fine. I expect Fast and the Furious, okay? Or I expect G.I. Joe, or I expect White House Down. You know what I mean,
dude? But when is that out now? I can't even remember. I need to see that.
It's coming out soon, and I'll be in line for it. But I know what to expect when you tell me.
Yeah, I know it's trash.
When you tell me something's going to be Superman and it's just an action film, then there's a bit.
Sometimes I can be pleasantly surprised. Like Fast and Furious 6 was actually incredibly fun, and it wasn't too terrible.
No, I understand, and that's my point though. We know what to expect going in. You know, don't try to
And then sometimes it can impress you and do a little more than you expect.
Yeah, don't try to hoodwink me and with trickery and say, we're reinventing or we're taking it another direction.
Oh, you have subtitles.
You know, yeah. But, I don't know. I'm still out of it. I mean, I just want to throw in – I'm looking at
– No, you're not lucid yet, man. You got to let it sink in, really.
Yeah. Well, I'm still on James Gandolfini, and I'm looking at my DVD collection, and I'm thinking about throwing in one of the seasons of The Sopranos and just hitting play and passing out to that. He also did a movie that you and I talked about recently called The Man Who Wasn't There. He was in that as well.
Oh, yeah, I know. I remember he was in that. That was a Coen Brothers film.
Yeah, Coen Brothers.
One of my favorite Coen Brothers films, just because I like Billy Bob Thornton when he's good. Not when he's being creepy or dumb or a drunk. I like it just when he's – I don't know. There's something about like movies like that or Bad Santa where it's just him and his element.
Bad Santa was excellent.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, those kinds of movies are where
– Billy Bob Thornton was also good in The Bad News Bears.
Monsters Ball was a – well, Bad News Bear, I think that was kind of a tough role for him because he was replacing what's his name from the originals.
Well,
the
original Walter Matthau.
Walter Matthau, yeah.
Yeah.
Who is just one of the greatest actors of all time, but he did a good job.
Yeah. Well, it's tough to do those remakes, but yeah, I mean, if you're going to pick, I mean, you know, tough shoes to fill.
No, I remember Gandolfini was like a pretty scary dude in The Man Who Wasn't There. I'm pretty sure he was like one of the antagonists, although the main character was sort of an anti-hero himself, so nobody was really good in that movie.
I think we need to have a Gandolfini film festival and rewatch some of these films, because some of them, like 8mm he was in, but I can't really remember. An 8mm starring
with Nick Cage?
Nicholas.
Oh, God. I don't even remember that. Was he in Snake Eyes, too?
Why does everybody give Nicholas Cage a hard time, man?
Oh, seriously? I mean, like, Nick Cage is great at what he does, but let's not pretend that he's a good actor. He's like a paid screamer or something.
Yeah, but people
pay for him so that they can get the weird accent and the screaming and the hair. That's what they want when you pay for a Nick Cage. Sometimes you can use that pretty well, though, like Raising Arizona. It's probably the only enjoyable Nick Cage movie for me.
Well, they did the same thing. People did the same thing with Elvis. Sounds like the same description, but that's I think that's...
Well, yeah, I would say Elvis was not an actor, really, but he was in a lot of movies.
But Nick Cage has a decent track record of not only entertaining movies, some of them are very good, in fact. He does. I had a discussion with a friend of mine the other day. He does go on a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 string of horrific straight-to-video style movies, no doubt. But that being said, if you go to his IMDb,
he's a goddamn Coppola. You expect more, I guess.
There you go. I can now. Yeah, yeah.
Like Sophia is a genius, and just Nick Cage does not measure up to that family, I guess.
There's an argument right there. I mean, that pretty much settles it.
I guess that's why it makes me angry.
No, that's well said. I can't argue that point. He's a Coppola, and I think a lot of people forget that Nicolas Cage is a Coppola.
And I give him credit for taking on a name so that he didn't constantly get, wedged in there, but everybody knows who he is.
We'll do a Nick Cage podcast and we'll go into.
There's like great YouTube montages of just him doing weird shit. Like there's a montage of screaming. There's a montage of all his different haircuts. There's just a montage of all the terrible scenes in The Wicker Man.
Well, he doesn't. Wicker Man was horrible. I saw that in the movie theater, and I was.
There's like 10 minutes of him just getting stung by bees or something.
Yeah, I was itching to watch. I wonder if I did walk out of the theater. I think I stayed through it. And I it was one of the two or three movies I've ever asked for my money back.
I watched that one with Riff Tracks. That's where you get an MP3 of these people from Mystery Science Theater making fun of the movie, and you played along with the movie.
Mm.
And those are pretty funny. Especially the one for Wicker Man is one of the best.
Yeah, Wicker Man, not recommended. We're talking about the remake with Nicolas Cage. Who did the first one?
Oh, I don't remember.
Forgot. It's an older one, but...
I don't think even... I'm pretty sure that one was terrible, too.
Mm. So, yeah. I'm testing out my new mic right now, too. I like the way it sounds. Mm. Yep. Well, I guess you don't.
Well, it sounds pretty good.
God damn. It sounds good, man. First time you've ever had silence.
I don't understand what's happening here. No, I was thinking about the woman who played his wife on The Sopranos.
Oh, yeah. Edie Falco, I believe that's her name.
Yeah, she's on like Nurse.
Never seen that show.
That show on HBO. I watched the first season, and she was like a pill addict, and something I don't remember. It was kind of boring to me.
I don't know, man. I mean, this is sending shockwaves across the lands. I mean, I'm right now. I'm just monitoring the internet. I mean, my phone is blowing up. I mean, it's like it's like
I haven't gotten any texts about, but like I was never. Gandolfini like fanatic. I liked him in a lot of the stuff that he did, but
anyone that knows
me, Sopranos, huh?
Anyone that knows me like on an intimate level, they know that how attached I was to that show, and everything stopped, Sunday nights, HBO.
I mean, he was so goddamn young in comparison to like all these other people out there that are outliving him. It feels very weird.
51.
Yeah.
Young man, he just had a baby daughter, I think, last October. So, yeah, it's got to be sending, you know, shockwaves amongst his friends and family. In the coming days should tell all and see what happened. I guess they're saying a heart attack right now.
Yeah, I heard heart attack, which it's understandable. He was a man of hefty means. Zoftig.
Gosh, man. Yeah, some of the... You just don't wish that on anyone, you know? No? Yes? No? What are you doing, man? What are you, preoccupied? No. Get it together.
No, I was just looking at a filmography.
Jeez.
Of porn that he was in.
Yeah, softcore porn again?
Some softcore porn. Telling you, man.
That was the Sopranos. He banged everyone in the Sopranos. Yeah,
wasn't their like headquarters was like a strip club or something, right?
Of course, man. The Bada Bing. What are you talking about?
It was a pretty funny Sopranos episode of Harvey Birdman.
What did I call you for? I thought you knew something about the Sopranos.
Fred Flintstone was Tony Soprano. It's
God
funny.
Damn.
I don't know why. What made you think that I knew the Sopranos?
I don't know. I
know the films.
What the fuck is going on?
But I'm not gonna pretend that
it's gonna be our first half hour podcast.
What?
I said this is going to be a first half.
Oh, so your plan was to discuss Sopranos in detail.
Well, not really detail. Name one thing that I ever discuss in detail that I'm not all over. No.
Well, listen, I brought up my favorite Gandolfini thing. I figured that would be enough.
Yes,
The Last Castle was a very good movie.
Well, it doesn't have to. This podcast doesn't have to be all about James Gandolfini. He's definitely going to be missed, no doubt. And I think you've seen enough of his films to, you know, pay respect to his body of work. You don't have to see every Soprano. Because, it's a commitment. When you commit to these series today, it takes a lot. I mean, there's a lot of television shows right now that you keep telling me to watch, and I just can't make that commitment.
Yeah, I do watch a lot already. And it's just it should be more up my alley. It's got Steve Buscemi. I can never know how to say that dude's name. It's got a lot of guys that I like.
Have you seen Boardwalk Empire?
That's another series
Please
I actually
God
don't
say
like
yes.
that much.
Jesus.
And it's funny. I should like that one even more because it's
should.
Full of like, Jewish mafia members.
You should. I wasn't thinking that, but just the type of I guess, film noir stuff that you talk about. I just think – and history.
It was very slow the first season. It was tough for me to get into, and then I just had other stuff to watch. I watched Dustin Hoffman series about horse racing.
You know, I never got into that. I watched one or two episodes.
It got canceled after the first season because
of the horses.
Peter complained or something.
Yeah, but I watched a couple episodes or one of them, and in a blink of an eye, it was canceled. And I was like, do I really want to invest in this? Because if I start liking it and it's gone.
It was fun, but that is the curse of when you watch a lot of shows.
Horses are tough to work with.
Are they? I mean, they made a lot of westerns back in the day with lots of horses.
But that was back in the day. I mean, how many westerns have they come out with in the past 5 years? Think about it.
Oh, so you're saying there's not a lot of horses on standby anymore and a lot of trainers?
I'm just saying that they're tough to work out because of the regulations, and I believe that it's like working with monkeys.
Well, they've gotten
or something,
tougher, definitely.
You know what I mean?
If you watch like The Searchers, you see all these horses tumbling around out in the desert. Half of them probably all died in the shooting of the movie. Now people, care, but like back then nobody gave a shit.
No one cares.
It was like, oh, another dead horse.
Yeah, you can't do that. You can't get away with that stuff these days.
Butcher it up and make horse steak.
Yeah, you can't get away with that stuff these days, no doubt. You gotta be careful.
What would our Cherokee brothers think when they see that, we care about these animals too much? Mother Earth gave us them to eat and ride.
Did they eat the horses?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think the Cherokee would eat the horse. I mean, if push came to shove, you know what I mean? I'd eat a man if I had to.
Well, horses were an invasive species, weren't they?
I try not to eat a man. I'd eat a woman first, but I try not to eat a man. But if I had to, you know what I mean?
Well, actually, the Native Americans probably didn't eat them because they called them like big dogs.
But there were some, and me being Native American, but there were some Native Americans that were cannibals. They were.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's true.
Out Texas area, I think there were some cannibals, and then the Aztecs were cannibals.
Yeah, that's crazy.
In like ceremony. It wasn't like they were eating each other all the goddamn time. There were like ceremonies and shit.
Some of the best one of the better cannibal scenes I've seen in a film was in Conan the Barbarian when they were cooking the soup
And it what is good in life?
That wasn't the part I was referring to. That was more of a battle scene.
My favorite part with the
gladiators. But yeah, that's a good part.
That's where he's talking to the Huns or whatever.
Yeah, he's actually Arnold Schwarzenegger is actually going to star in a new Conan. Actually,
there was a new Conan already. It was terrible. It was in 3D.
It sucked. Yeah.
It was kind of sad. Yeah. Mm. I mean, there are tons of good Conan comic books.
And so, I went to it too. The guy that they picked for that Conan was amazing, though. He didn't play Conan good, but he was in Game of Thrones, and he played the hell out of that character. I forget his name.
I mean, the fact is, with somebody, you know who Frank Frazetta is?
No, who is this guy?
He's back in the day when Conan the Barbarian was like huge. Like he was the guy doing the artwork on the books, and eventually he started working in the 70s on the comics as well. And he also did a lot of stuff for a lot of psychedelic bands in the 70s for their record covers and stuff. He basically, his style was what made that movie, the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. He even like went on set to like help make sure set designs looked right. Like this dude was like a comic book artist.
Well, that's why
everybody worshipped.
That's why.
I don't know how they can do it again.
That's why they were so happy about this new Conan, the guy that portrays him, because they said he looked so much like you know, the artist. What was his name you just mentioned?
Frank Frazetta.
Frank Frazetta. They said,
I mean, he was a genius, dude. I mean, didn't just do Conan, but Conan.
I guess this guy's name was Jason Momoa or something. I can't pronounce his name. You know, just tore it up, I'm sure. But he was in the first season of Game of Thrones, and he's got the look.
Did he play?
He played the dragon, queen dragon lady, whatever her name is.
Oh, Daenerys is. He played Khal Drogo.
Yeah. He was punishing her. He would punish her from behind. I love that.
What are you talking about? They loved each other.
They didn't love. He made her. He was like Mike Tyson.
He was her sky and her stars.
Yeah,
all right.
No, he made her love. He whooped her into submission.
No, he was the Lord of Horses, and he made her the queen, the Khaleesi.
Yeah, he'd make you queen too. Yeah,
I don't know what that means.
You know what
that
it means. No, if he wants to make you queen, he'll make you love him. It makes a lot of sense.
Zero sense, man.
She wasn't in love. I'm not really that into Game of Thrones. I watch it because I find
you don't even know what you're talking about. That's how.
I'm ignorant to this whole field. But it's not the first time. But I watch it. It's entertaining. It's more of a kind of a filler until the next best thing. But I've gotten a little hooked to it. But it seems like with Game of Thrones, I've got to watch it at least twice sometimes to know what's going on. As they say, the books are much better. It's always the case. You got to read the books. So I might invest in the books and read a page or two and then just go back to watching it because I'm not really into those long novels. What's up, man?
You don't like to read. I got you.
I do. I read some, but not.
You're not a reader.
Just, you know, when text it's like six books, scary. Man, what the hell?
Six books? What are you even talking about, man? It's only five right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The six hasn't even come out yet. And it's going to be six or seven total. I can't remember.
That's a big commitment.
Song of Fire and Ice.
Maybe I'll get it on Audible.
Ugh, you're so lazy. Dude, I'm on my second read through of all the books right now. I'm on the fourth again.
I take it you've read Lord of the Rings and all those too.
Cimmerillion. I've read some of the extra stuff that Tolkien's son worked on. I mean, I read it all. I read all C.S. Lewis' stuff.
No, it's worth it. It really is worth the commitment to read it because a lot of times when I'm watching it, when I'm watching it on television, something's missing. It looks like it's a choppy editing job or something. And I'm like, some of this stuff doesn't. It's almost not
explained enough.
Exactly, and I know I'm not, you know, the sharpest tool, but at the same time, I can put one and one together, and it's just sometimes
there are definitely moments where they leave out big chunks of. There's never anything crucial, but it's always like I wish there was more.
So I couldn't imagine that my phone's
like
blowing
the plot's
up right now.
Exactly the same. It's just little things are different,
and that would annoy me if I read the books.
It's actually kind of interesting because. You're surprised. You're like, oh, I didn't know that scene would play out this way. Or like the pacing of the book is very different than the show because the book cut – like each chapter is basically 20, 30 minutes of a character's life.
Yeah.
And in the show, it's just five – you get 5 minutes and it cuts to another person like a soap opera. And in the book, you get much bigger chunks at a time of one character. So it's a little jarring in the show to watch it like that, but it's also a lot faster paced because of that. And that, I think that makes it a little more exciting. The books are definitely not all that exciting. They're just really interesting, and they're like a lot of political drama.
Got you.
Yeah.
It's like I said, it's a very entertaining show. Not wasn't really a big fan of the – well, I don't even know what season it is, but the season finale they just finished up with.
Yeah. It's funny. It was like – it reminded me of the last season too. The episode before the last episode was great, and then it was just sort of like
– I mean,
and now we're going to set you up for the next – like the last episode of the season was just a setup for the next season. Yeah, is it that kind of thing.
Is it amateur hour? Is that like just a trend, something trending in Hollywood for them to do that? Because
most HBO shows do not do that. Most HBO shows, a season is a storyline, and then it's wrapped up. I think for Game of Thrones, it's hard to do that.
Because
they want to get you excited for the next season.
I was excited in definitely the show before the season finale. If you'd ended it on that note, someone like me who finds the show entertaining, that would have just reeled me in big time. I probably would have all the books.
The North will never forget, man. The North never forgets.
They don't forget.
No. But they will. Yeah.
But back to where we were talking about the guy. I mean, I thought the
Jason Momoa.
Yeah, he actually was very good in it. Hated to see him go, but at the same time, when he did Conan, you know, I was looking back and I was like, God, why couldn't he have given that same performance in Conan? But you know, it goes back.
I mean, direction can honestly ruin actors too.
Like, that's what I was going to say.
The director. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was leading to. Like, I don't.
Oh, sorry, man.
It's all right.
I should all over your point.
Yeah. No, it's not a big deal. I'm used to it with you. It's like a fight. It's like a wrestling match whenever I talk to you. But it's all right. No, don't take it personal.
I'm apologizing.
You like to talk. We love you. It's still the same. You're my boy. The my point I was trying to make was. That is what I'm talking about with Man of Steel. That's what I'm talking about with Star Trek. And that's what I'm talking about with – well, Conan had direction problems. Yeah, just the whole production of it. I mean, I think it was doomed from the beginning. Let's be honest. I mean, you know, what are you going to do? But I guess Arnold is coming back to play an older Conan now, which I don't have a problem with.
I mean, like there are – there's Conan the King. There are tons of stories about him while he's king.
Yeah, I think that's where it's going to pick up. And then word on the wire just hit that he's going to come back and play the Terminator.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that one was talked about a long time ago, like almost right after he stopped – he got out of politics.
Well,
like,
yeah,
he's
going to
come back.
Of course he's got to come back because he's got to earn. I mean, God knows how much money he lost in his – or is losing in his divorce.
Yeah.
But
I mean, well, first off, how much money are you going to lose? He was married to a Shriver. They're basically Kennedys.
Yeah, but they'll still wipe you out, man. You can't like do what he did and not piss a woman off, and they don't give a shit.
And he was in politics at some point, which means you're basically like rich without ever having to have money now because you have power. And power.
Yeah, he's got
like
juice.
Kevin Spacey says in House of Cards, power is much better than money.
Yeah, he's got juice, no doubt. I mean, he's had juice.
Yeah.
He's had juice since he came here. So, I mean, you know, he's flourished. He is, he's going to do the, I guess, I don't know who took over. Is it Paramount now that's taking over the Terminator franchise?
Oh, I don't know.
Can't remember.
I felt so betrayed by the last Terminator movie with Christian Bale that I don't think I can see another one.
Salvation.
What was the TV show was amazing. The Sarah Connor Chronicles.
I tried to watch it. Yeah.
It had Summer Glau from, from Firefly. She's amazing. She's fucking ridiculously hot, and she played a robot.
Which is more hot for you then?
A little more hot. Well, I was more badass. So she's hot and badass and pretty good actress.
I thought that I think she's definitely cute. But I thought the one in with Nick Stahl. Which one was that?
Are you talking about the Terminator 3?
Yeah.
With the female Terminator?
Rise
of the
Machines.
Well, I guess that's another female,
Now, she was hot.
Who was that?
Kristanna Loken, I believe that's her name. She played the...
Was she like a model?
She was hot, no doubt.
She was tall and, like, built, you know, like...
Funny name. What type of name is that? Kristanna.
Kristanna. That is a terrible name.
What is that, man?
I'm just reading interview where Jason Momo does like talk about Frank Frazetta and how he tried to model his character after Frazetta's models.
Who?
You know, Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
I was like, you know, it sounded like he tried. It just didn't work.
No, man. It just, it, you know, it's, what are you going to do? It really didn't need to be made. There's so many films like that that's coming out. And people bitched and complained about this one we were just talking about, T3. You know, yeah, I mean, Nick Stahl, he had to fill it in. I mean, you couldn't get Edward Furlong because he was strung out on something then and now. And
yeah, I mean, and even Terminator 3.
I thought it was good. I love Claire Danes.
Had some terrible moments, but like the ending for that movie was so satisfying. Yeah. It was like one of the most satisfying movie endings I had ever seen.
Yeah,
and
I
was like pretty young. I turned to my friend. And I was just like, that was such a brilliant way to explain everything. For like any fan who's seen all three movies, when that movie came out, you're just like,
they went down there and got locked in, and then everything just blew up to all hell.
Like, this is exactly how it had to happen. No matter what, you're going to, you know, save the human race. I locked you in here. And it was just like, fuck.
Well, I loved the two female leads, the TX and
oh, and the girl who was Claire Danes. Trying to escape with. Oh, was that Claire Danes?
No, I'm
talking about the teenage girl.
Those Claire Danes.
Was that, God, was it that long ago?
It was Claire Danes, man.
Shit, man.
And she's nice. She's in Homeland that everyone loves.
I know, you hate it.
No, I don't.
You're going to be a bigger fan. You're going to be more of a fan of the 24 movie when that comes out.
The hell are you talking about, man? I don't hate it. I don't think they're coming out with the 24 movie. I think they're going to do another season.
That. Oh, it was going to be a season? I had heard it was a movie.
No, they're doing a like a one season.
God, who would want? Is that like, was it on Netflix? Maybe.
Mm-mm.
Who would want that? The last season was so bad. I don't think I even finished it.
I think people just remember how much they loved it.
Well, the first two or three were actually amazing. They were just like truly, truly amazing. And then like it, what happened was it felt like some sort of politics got involved. I would say on the right wing of American politics and sort of tried to pull it and make it a mouthpiece for torture.
Mm.
And then it just became torture's good and it's the only thing saving America, basically. That became like the thesis of the series, and it was just painful after that. There was no plot. It was just like, what Arab person can I torture, you know, to get the information for a suitcase nuke?
Claire Danes is a little peach.
No, she's amazing. Like, she acts the shit out of Homeland. And so does, God, what's his name from Criminal Minds and Princess Bride? Who's in that? Plays Saul?
I don't know.
The old Jewish spy.
Mm-hmm.
Another Jew.
Oh, yeah, that guy. What is his name?
He's so soft-spoken in that. It's almost, like, creepy. But it's so good.
What's his name? Homeland.
You know, he also played the swordsman in
Damon Lewis. Is that his name? He's the lead in Homeland, right?
No.
Okay.
That's the dude you're thinking of, the dude from Band of Brothers, which I'm guessing you never watched.
Yeah, I watched it, but I mean, I've been there.
Oh, you watched? Okay.
I saw Private Ryan. I was like, yeah, well, what am I gonna watch?
They're
a
similar,
series?
But they're similar.
Enough with the war.
Different actors.
I know, but I think they go overboard, man. Tom Hanks and Spielberg. Enough
this
with the
came
war.
Out like around the same time. I think Spielberg was he involved in Band of Brothers?
Yeah, they're all involved.
But anyway, I mean, it was around the same time. It was when everybody was like obsessed with World War II movies again.
Enough with the war.
We wanted like remakes of The Longest Day.
Enough with the war,
man. War movies, as horrible as war is, it inspires some of the greatest movies. Like Kubrick wouldn't be anywhere without war movies.
No, you got Full Metal Jacket.
Before that.
Oh, yeah.
Can you remember his earliest war movie?
Yeah, no, I don't watch the old stuff, man.
Paths of Glory?
Yeah, well.
It's all about a bunch of French military men who ran away from a battle in World War One, and they were put on trial. It's so amazing.
I don't watch anything with the word French in it.
It doesn't have the word French in it.
Oh.
It's called Paths of Glory, and everybody speaks with British accents for the most part.
Only thing I watch
American accents.
Only thing I watch with glory are holes. That's it.
Paths of Glory holes.
That's right. That's even better.
No, I can't believe you haven't seen this. It's black and white, so maybe
I'm sure I've seen it. I'm sure. You know, there are a lot
it's
of
a
movies.
Kubrick film. All Kubrick films need to be watched. No, Kubrick.
No doubt. I agree with you there. No doubt.
Have you seen, you've seen Lolita or something, right?
Yeah, man. I mean, what are we going to do? Go down the list?
Now, I'm about to, man. Christ. Have you seen The Killing?
Yeah, I've seen them all. I've seen them all, man. I saw them in a theater.
Bit of a Kubrick nerd.
No, I'm not really.
Want to go on? I'm not really. Want to talk about Ingmar Bergman?
I know the basics, you know what I mean? You know?
Well, I'm a film nerd. I'm sorry, man.
Well, it's good.
I apologize for that.
No, man. Don't ever apologize for who you are. You're a douchebag, too, but you don't apologize for that.
I like to kick them when they're down. That's true.
I'm just fucking with you. So, yeah, man, we're going to see World War Z on Friday. What's up with that? You down?
Yeah, I'm down. I'm going to see a lot of movies, I guess, because...
Mm-hmm. Summer movie.
I mean, I'm not excited about that movie. I'm going to see Superman tomorrow. World War Z is one that I'm like, well, I read the book. I'm not excited. I just want to see it. Yeah, like, I want to see it. I don't like the idea of more 28 Days Later zombies.
I don't care. You know.
Or creatures, whatever they're calling them.
Whatever. I like a good zombie movie.
And then I want to see This Is the End. I'll probably see that, like, Saturday.
Yeah, I'm going to go see that, too. I got to fit that in. I was going to go today. I was like, I was going to bring Justin. I was going to bring Justin. I was going to bring Justin, and I was like, Bailey was like, I'd strongly advise against that.
No, of course not, man. Did you bring him to see, like, Pineapple Express?
No, man.
Yeah, exactly, man. This is the exact same kind of
movie. He saw Ted.
Well, I guess Ted is sort of...
He saw Ted,
I think Ted's a little more tame.
But
honestly, Seth MacFarlane likes to pretend that he's, edgy, but, like, he's not nearly as edgy as that crew.
But for the record, he didn't see Ted with me. He saw it with his mother, so I was against him seeing it. She even bought him a bobblehead, Ted. What the fuck is that? I'm not even going to get started on that right now, but yeah, I didn't take him to see it. He'll, you know, 5-6 years from now, he'll be old enough and we'll enjoy all the raunchy comedies that are going to come out in the future. But yeah, I heard that this is probably one of the funniest movies of the year or in recent years.
I mean, just from like the stuff I've heard about how Michael Cera is in the movie, I want to see it so much.
I haven't heard anything.
I listened to the Seth Rogen episode of Adam Carolla's podcast.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
They talked about it.
Mm. And he was on Mark Maron as well, making their rounds.
Seth Rogen, yeah.
Yeah.
Seth Rogen, my God, I can't believe that I've been watching that dude since he was like 16 years old.
And he was doing stand-up at like 15 or 16
I couldn't believe that. Like that was unbelievable. But like I thought he was so much older than he was supposed to be on Freaks and Geeks.
Well, he sounds much older too.
Well, yeah, and it's funny, like, I wonder how old Jason Segel was then.
What is he, like, 30 years old? 32?
Yeah, and he was fucking 16 years old in 1999, and I was, like, around, like, I guess I was 12 or something when I was watching that show on, like, Fox. I can't believe, just, I don't know, I guess I always imagine everybody so much older than they actually are when I watch them on TV, but Seth Rogen, I didn't think he was that young.
Yeah, well, he sounds old.
He does. He looks... But everybody, like, James Franco sounded old in that show. I think he was 16, too.
Freaks and Geeks?
Yeah, James Franco was on that. Jason Segel was on that.
Yeah, you told me about it. Yeah. I'm going to look. It's on Netflix. I think I'm going to try to stream
it. I was just thinking about it again because it's basically the same people in This Is the End.
It's a funny show?
Except for Jason Segel.
Funny show?
It's a – do you like a sort of teen drama, like high school things? Because that's basically what it is. It's all about this girl who's a genius, but she wants to hang out with the freaks in high school.
I'll check an episode out. Maybe I'll watch that tonight and see.
I feel like I keep talking. I need to stop talking about that show. I always live in the past. That show's never coming back.
Yeah, it's gone. It's over, Johnny.
Yeah, I know.
It's like me and The Sopranos. It's done. Over.
You like to live in the past sometimes. There are some TV shows that just ended so much sooner than they should have.
Well, I'm like that. I'm like that with everything, you know, film. Like, I'm looking at a wall full of Blu-ray DVDs. I've got my Sopranos on the wall, Lost. And, you know, when I go back, I got the first season of Heroes.
Don't hate. Oh, my. The only worthwhile season of Heroes.
Yeah, I stopped right there. I think I might have season two, but I was just like, it's crap.
I think everybody, all nerds can agree that Heroes needed to end after, like, the first, whatever they called the volume.
It had that hot chick on it, too, man. I used to watch that stuff, man.
Which hot chick?
The blonde, the cheerleader.
Really? Says, oh, the Hayden Panettiere. No, yeah. I thought you were going to talk about that old blonde chick.
She's hot, too, though, man. She was
too skinny.
She was
a little too anorexic for me.
I don't know. Yeah. I have to check her out.
Need to put some meat on her.
Mm. She was in a good movie with Michael Douglas called The Game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one with Sean Penn, Michael Douglas. That was a David Fincher film. I like that one. Yeah, Hayden, she's a nice little number. How do you say her last name?
Oh my God!
And then Ollie Larder.
I was at Bonnaroo, over this last weekend, and let me see here.
I was talking about. Find it. Were they there?
No.
Something else just popped up into your head when I was getting ready to talk about hot chicks, hot blondes.
Well, when you brought up Hayden Panettiere, I immediately thought about.
Yeah, she's like a dolphin lover. She loves dolphins. And Ollie Larder. I don't think she's skinny. I mean, she's not thick. That's for sure.
Can't find it. Oh, well.
What are you looking for?
But I'm pretty sure I saw Hayden Panettiere at Bonnaroo, but I don't know if she was like on stage doing something. I don't know exactly what it was, but it was very weird. I think because, well, she shoots a show in Nashville now.
Bonnaroo. What was that?
This is in Manchester, Tennessee. It's a big music festival. Tons of bands go. I got to see Paul McCartney play.
You did?
Beatle. I saw a Beatle, man.
Wow.
Goddamn Beatle. A lot of indie bands that you never heard of because they're too cool for you.
Yeah.
And Earl Sweatshirt, my boy from Odd Future Wolfgang, Kill Them All.
Yeah, sounds fun.
He's a fucking amazing rapper. Oh, and Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah.
Was there, although I didn't really catch much of their show. I realized that I was not raised by the Wu-Tang as much as I thought I had been.
Tell you that.
I was not. Yeah, I was raised by like Dre and Eminem, if hip-hop raised me at all.
Yeah, well, yeah.
NWA, but like, you know, that's like, you know, I had to search for NWA stuff.
I could take you in some parts of Detroit and LA and you'll feel the same way. You'll be like, I wasn't raised by them.
No, man, I was raised by them as much as, you know, any white suburban kid. I was just quoting Macklemore.
Yeah.
Who was like a white kid, you know, the rapper who was
funny you brought him up
in the song.
Yeah, funny you brought him up cuz I was
raised
telling
by Wu-Tang.
No, I was telling you that my son really likes him. And sings this song verse for verse.
Which thrift shop?
The one about, I think it's about being gay.
Oh God, yeah, he does have he sang that at Bonnaroo. Macklemore was also at Bonnaroo. It was very weird because everybody who agrees that all people are equal put up one finger, and then like everybody in the crowd put up a finger, and he's like, "Man, this is the first time performing that I've seen that many hands up." I'm like, "Well, maybe this is like the first big crowd you performed in or something. I don't know." It's very weird. And then he's saying like the song about how everybody should love people even if they're gay. And I was like, all right. I mean, it's a great message. It's just very – it felt very strange. So that's a popular song among the young kids?
I don't know. It's a song that kind of took me off guard because it came on the radio. And when it came on, you know, my son Justin was like, oh, that's my jam. And I started listening to it. Yeah, and I was like, hold on.
It's a song about equality. It's beautiful.
And then, yes, after it sunk in, I definitely listened to the message, and it's a beautiful song. It really is a very much so is a beautiful song called Same Love.
Macklemore's not all about taking your grandpa's style. It's about making you think.
I was trying to find it and play a clip of it. Let me see if I can.
And Ryan Lewis is like this tiny little dude behind a DJ booth, and he's fucking amazing too.
Mm-hmm.
With Macklemore.
If it'll pull, oops. No. Give me a quick second to fix this. There you go. And I will play a clip for you guys of this song. I think Brandon's still talking, but I haven't muted.
Over me? Dude, I was like in the middle of a point.
Sorry. I was trying to not play the stupid. I'm sick of these YouTube commercials, man. I mean, goddamn. What do I got to do to get rid of these commercials? They have like a Hulu Plus where I don't have to see these. So I was going to play
it. Yeah, don't use YouTube, man.
Well, I mean, what am I going to do?
So behind the times.
What do you use? What the fuck?
Just download it, man.
Well, I can't play because you're on Skype, and I notice I can't play my iTunes. You know, when you're on Skype for some reason.
Why?
I don't know. Well, let me see.
Whatever program you're using to make recordings is bad then, man.
What do you mean? I'm just running it through the computer.
No.
I mean, I don't know.
How are you recording this? You're probably not even recording it.
Yeah, I'm recording through my Tascam. What the hell are you talking about?
Oh, you have your Tascam hooked up.
I run everything through the mixer into the.
There are like programs you can use that capture audio directly from your computer.
Yeah, but I don't use that. I don't really want to get in the habit of using that because if the computer goes, then
but
you're
if
screwed.
We use Skype, it's a lot more convenient.
Yeah, but if the computer ever goes, then you're done.
But if the computer goes, Skype doesn't work anyway.
I'm not worried about Skype because the majority of my podcasts aren't on Skype.
I get that, but I'm saying in the case of Skype, that is where that program.
And if Skype went right now, it'd probably be a benefit to the podcast.
I don't know what your point is.
Fuck you. How dare you. Oh, yeah, it does play.
Thank you. You can be offended for me for the things that you said about me.
But the thing is, you can't hear it. So I'm playing a clip
of the... No, I can't hear it at all. But it's being recorded.
Yeah.
So I'm talking over the clip right now. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, it's fine. It's not. No one's. It's just music playing right now. I'll let you know when to be quiet. But
tell me when to shut the fuck up.
So I guess if there's a program that I could use, you would hear the music too then?
No. That Skype isn't gonna work like that. There are ways to share music, but not through Skype. There are like programs like Raid Call and a couple others where you can share videos and music like that.
Gotcha.
But you don't need to know about that stuff.
Let this play for a second. Hold on. Hold that thought.
Are we here? Are we doing it? Straight. Can you put a mic up to your computer? Tears rushing down my face. She's like, Ben, you've loved girls since before pre-K. Tripping. Yeah, I guess she had a point, didn't she? Bunch of stereotypes all in my head. I remember doing the math, like, yeah, I'm good at Little League. A preconceived idea of what it all meant. For those that like the same sex, have the characteristics. The right-wing conservatives think it's a decision. And you can be cured with some treatment and religion. Man-made rewiring of a predisposition playing God. I think it's a
very deep and emotional song on many levels. You there? Paraphrase a book written 3,500 years ago.
Oh, I turned my mic off, so, you know.
Yeah, I think it's a very deep and emotional song on many levels.
Yeah. I think that was the first time I'd heard it. I guess I just sort of skipped over it when I was listening to the album, so when I heard it in concert, that was the first time I'd heard it. But it was good.
Yeah. And yeah, my son, he loves it. He's turned me on to a few different artists. It's fun to watch. It's kind of just fun because you never know what goes on in a child's mind. You know what I mean?
And you don't know what music they're into or why. Yeah.
So you just kind of, you know, I do the best I can to keep tabs on him and see what he's liking and see what he's reciting, laying down. You know, he's been watching. He's attended a couple few of the podcasts and he'll come over periodically and just kind of stare and watch, and he's gotten into that. So I might get him a mic and a little small mixer or something like that, so when he's at his mom's he can start getting in.
Have him produce some mixtapes.
What was cool,
that's how you get in.
What
you
was cool,
make a mixtape.
What's cool also is that he produced it. Yeah, let me talk. Yeah. Motherfucker,
are you ready to go? You keep trying to interrupt me. I'm trying to finish my sentence, man.
Yeah, wait till you have a child, then I'll let you talk all you want. That's your problem. You don't know.
I don't know
what
that means.
Exactly. He recently produced his first film, which I'm, you know, really excited about. He's done, I think, 3 short stop motion films. So I'm really proud of that.
Oh, that's cool.
I think so. Stop motion it's a craft itself. So I showed him, you know, the King Kong, was it 33? Is that the year? I'm probably getting it wrong. Someone will email me that I got that wrong. But the whole claymation King Kong, and then I showed him a lot of the stuff in Empire Strikes Back and Star Wars and Return of the Jedi. Was a lot of that stuff was, you know, models and stop motion. So I'm just into stuff like that instead of all this CGI. I think the tangibles look a lot better. What are you doing? Surfing the net?
You know it, buddy.
What are you looking for?
I was just trying to search for something that I can't find.
Porn?
No, Hayden Panettiere.
You're still on her? You're back on her? I'm glad you're back on her.
I was thinking about it. I was like, was that crazy? Was she on stage at some show? I don't remember.
She's cute, man.
Listen, those kinds of music festivals, they're not, you know, they don't make healthy brains. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I would search for that, too. I mean, I was watching Heroes just because of her at that point in time.
Really? Do you like Hiro Takanawa or whatever?
I did like
dude
him.
Who could travel through time. He was the best part.
Yeah, I did like him. I liked
that
him a
season
lot.
Where he went to like like old Japan and was like fucking the samurai.
He was cool. What was that? He would yell all the time?
Yatta.
Yeah.
Yatta. It's,
and then he would go through time,
it
means right?
We did it.
But I never, you know what sucks is because there was always a void there because I never knew what happened to them. And I was in for
him and his best friend who followed him around like a sidekick.
For just one season, I was so invested in them. And yeah, he would scream. And every time he would, he kind of reminded me of Hayata. I don't know if you ever watched Ultraman. And Hayata would
scream. Are you kidding me?
And I used to love Ultraman.
Ultraman is the shit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, well, all that Super Sentai, as they call it in Japan, in the East.
Mm.
All that stuff is good. The rubber suits, everything. That's why I'm so excited for Del Toro's new film.
That's what I was going to say. I wonder why they don't do an Ultraman movie. I guess this could be Del Toro's Pacific Rim could be, you know, a nod at that whole, you know, genre.
It's completely a nod to, like, the Godzillas, the Ultramen, the... all the Kamen Riders, the Goangers, the Power Rangers, all that shit.
I thought it was. I don't know if I was insulted by it, but I think he was when they were trying to compare it to Transformers because I think Ultraman and those guys were out. They were out.
Yeah, you can't compare it to that shit.
Yeah, Ultraman, Johnny Sacco's robot, all those guys were out way before Transformers. Like, I mean, Transformers was a clear ripoff of that.
Let me lay some knowledge on you.
Transor-Z.
Back in, I believe, the 1960s, there was a man named Ishinomori, and he wrote a little comic called Cyborg 009, and that was the birth of that sort of Super Sentai giant, you know, people with special powers fighting giant monsters and shit. I mean, there was Godzilla and stuff predates that, but like, this guy did these comics, and then people wanted to make him into TV shows, so they made Power Rangers style shows. They made shows about bugs who rode motorcycles and fought giant monsters, and then they made Ultraman. And I'm pretty sure Ishinomori invented Ultraman too, but I'm not 100% sure. But this dude was a genius, and that's what this is.
Love Ultraman. Loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
There. I laid a little bit of history about the Super Sentai kaiju fan shit out there. All right, I don't know how else to say.
No, I appreciate it. That's why I keep you around.
Thank you, man.
All that knowledge in your head.
Yeah, that's from studying comic books.
Well, good, Brandon, because I think, what do you have, a busy day tomorrow? You're going to do Man of Steel, and then we're going to meet up on Friday for World War Z, and we'll podcast from the Alamo, because I think I'm going to wrap it up now. I need to...
No, that's a good idea.
You know, chill out and collect my thoughts and, you know, drink another beer for my man James Gandolfini and, you know, pour a little bit out for my homie that's not here anymore. Represent, respect.
Yeah, he was a soldier, man.
Yeah. So, Brandon, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. You know, anything to talk you through your grief. I can understand that. Like, I know when, you know, these famous people, they, you know, it's absurd that, like, they could be in your life, but sometimes it feels like they are.
All right. Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Appreciate you being there for me, my man. And
man.
With that, I'll see you Friday. And thanks you guys for tuning in. And as always, Domino motherfucker. Just a small town girl living in a lonely world. She took the midnight train going anywhere. Just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit. He took the midnight train going anywhere. A singer in a smoky room, the smell of wine and cheap perfume, for a smile they can share.